Welcome to Community Matters, a podcast about the power of music community. My name is McKeegan Voice. In an era of streaming and AI and algorithmic discovery, sometimes we forget that there are humans behind the music. On Community Matters, we're chatting with artists who share their stories and how community has impacted their music careers, especially in times of struggle. A supportive community is one of the things that inspires us to start making music and then keep making it. And this is an ode to those relationships. We hope it's a reminder of just how important people are to the music that we love. Today, I'm speaking with Julian Tepper. Julian was the bass player in an overlooked indie band called The Natural History. The band toured around the country in the early aughts and almost made it big, but they broke up right before their second LP, The People That I Meet, was released. So Julian ended up trading music for writing, and he recently published his third novel, called Between the Records, which, among other things, fictionalizes the making of that unreleased LP.
Yo, dude.
Hey, man. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty fine, I think. You know, I'm at my dad's. There are a lot of us, which is nice.
Cool.
We've got a big old backyard, and I think by being in LA, it sort of feels somewhat normal. I think I hear New York is very...
It's kind of bizarre. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I've known Julian for a few years, but I've mostly only known his writer side. His musical past has been slowly revealed to me throughout our friendship, and its unveiling has been pretty fascinating. The Natural History ended up re-releasing The People That I Meet late last year, and to support Julian's tour for Between the Records, the band had plans to play a few gigs around the country. In LA at the Hotel Cafe, in New York at Trans Picos, as well as at South by Southwest. Of course, things changed with the arrival of the coronavirus. And as has been the case for all of my conversations of late, the virus is where we began.
How are you guys doing?
We're doing okay. You know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry that it coincided with all of this awesome stuff that you're doing.
You know, it's all good. It's all good on many levels, but I think most importantly, the book came out.
Right.
If that had been postponed, say if it were, I mean, I can't imagine how many new titles are going to come out because bookstores are closed. It would kind of be like throwing the product directly into the meat grinder. But my soul is at ease knowing that people can read it. But yeah, it's also everyone's going through it. So, I mean, I saw so many friends have their tours canceled, like tours that were about paying for the next year of their life kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, it's really hard on musicians right now. Just canceling South by Southwest. That's where people go anticipating, you know, getting discovered or getting more traction or, you know, kicking off a tour.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, there's a lot of bands that have lost a lot of money. Forget the money that's not being earned. They invested a lot of money in these tours, and it's uncharted territory. But like all artists, so many knocks along the way. I mean, I think about from the starting point of this book to where it is now, so many setbacks that I don't really view this as anything but just another stop along the way of being involved in making things, you know.
I've seen a really promising outpouring of community and support in the face of all of this, which has been really beautiful. And I'm hopeful that this will remind everyone how much we take for granted just the opportunity to be with other people in the same space. And we come out of this feeling more connected to each other.
I think so. I mean, I'm in a house with a lot of my family that I don't get to spend time with, mostly for the reason that I live in New York and they live in Los Angeles. And my 32-year-old brother here, my 19-year-old brother, and my 9-year-old brother. And we are getting some time together, and it's beautiful. My dad and I tracked a song yesterday in the studio.
Nice.
Spending more time with my kid. I'm homeschooling him, you know. Day two of Gothic Lit was today. It's amazing. And we're reading Frankenstein together. And we'll do Dracula next. And it's special. It feels special while it's happening, you know.
Julian comes from a pretty musical family. His dad, who he mentions tracking a song with, is Robert Tepper, who is a Grammy-nominated musician who wrote for Pat Benatar, briefly joined the classic hard rock band Iron Butterfly, and gave the world that unmistakable 80s jam, No Easy Way Out, which you may remember from Rocky IV. And then Julian's brother Max was the lead singer of The Natural History. Speaking of The Natural History, you may recognize this track. Hope you always make it right. When those little kicks inside you start to change your life. Listen to me, I tell you, man, you must believe. They're gonna talk and talk, so I tell you, man, you must believe. And don't you ever be down. I said don't ever. That's Don't You Ever, which was made famous by the indie rock band Spoon. But it was actually written by the Tepper brothers in a house they rented in Woodstock, New York. So the story goes, Max and Spoon's Britt Daniel were exchanging a lot of demos at that time. And there was something about this song that struck Daniel, and it's clear why. It's catchy as hell. And the two bands ended up touring together. Spoon, of course, would go on to record their own version of the track, releasing it as the third single of their acclaimed 2007 record, Ga 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 Ga. And then in 2008, Spoon released the Don't You Ever EP, which includes mixes by Diplo as well as the original rendition by The Natural History. And more than a decade later, Spoon and the Teppers are still supporting one another. Coming back to that hope for more connection and more support, social communities that exist online supporting each other are going to be so important. Like, I saw Britt Daniel shared a post on Between the Records, which was really cool. And I could imagine this is another way in which artists and their communities will come together through various digital platforms to support each other.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was very special, very kind. Britt's been super generous always, and he's a really special person and has been very generous with this book, and it was very nice of him to tell his whole social media community about it. And you can see a little more banding together among artists. I mean, I feel like in the music world, this exists pretty successfully already, but I'm starting to see it in the literary world, which is maybe a little more individual, a little more selfish. I don't know if it has to do with character makeup or just how little space there really is in that world for everyone to exist in a way that in music is just a bigger world. It's vast. It has so many channels. We're going to be forced to figure out even more now, which is exciting.
In a moment when the world is amplifying the need for community, I would love to hear about a time in your career that community was really impactful to what you were doing and helped you to where you were trying to be.
For sure. It really ties book and record. I really stopped playing music for a very long time, from the moment The Natural History ended to about, so that was 2006 to 3 years ago. A friend of mine's name is Tim Wheeler. He's got a band called Ash, who are fantastic and have been around for over 25 years. They're from Northern Ireland. And he invited me to join this collective and participate in 10 hours. And you try to write 10 songs after we each sat alone and spent all this time in a given day. Tried to write all these songs, and we get together and then we have a listening party afterwards. It happened as recently as a month ago, and it sort of happens when people are not on tour. And it was something that, even though I had not played music for over 10 years and really not picked up instruments, I mean, a little here and there, but I'd sort of given up music in a very severe way. But it was in me. It's something I'd done from 0 to the age of 26, and it became sort of addictive and really a wonderful group of people. And it really brought me back to my love of playing music. And that's really what brought me to write the book about my family's life and music. So a lot of the people who were doing it were using it as the well to keep themselves in new songs and putting records together. I was no longer making records, and so it was being directed into my fiction writing. But it was really a very supportive group. I mean, there was a lot of love in the room and a lot of people. You know, sometimes it's hard to know what your best material is. You're doing it alone in a room, or maybe you're making it with a band. And even then, you're so close to it that it's good to have these other ears of people who really just want to see you write great stuff and hear your tunes. It was a special community, and it built over time like anything, you know. And it took a lot of courage too, because a lot of people making themselves very vulnerable. It was very sort of like diaristic for a lot of people, you know. You have to write all these songs in one day. Like, what am I going to write about? And write about all the fish by stuff that happened this week. You know? So it took some courage, and it took a lot of saying yes and showing up, and the results were really a beautiful thing.
You mentioned earlier that you played music from, you know, 0 to 26 and then left it pretty severely, was the word that you used. I'm curious why that felt severe, and then was it difficult to join this community and start playing again?
You know, I think I stopped doing it because there was no pleasure left in it, you know? I think that actually happens to a lot of people who do things from a very young age. You sort of don't know why you're doing it, and I think that can, yeah, it starts being unclear why you're doing it, and then the pleasure sort of goes quickly. That can be okay for a while. And then you wake up and realize pleasure is key to all of it. So I just stopped. Making music makes more sense to me than kind of anything else that I do. Growing up in a musical household and parents who are musicians and all these things, they all contribute to it being in the DNA and being ingrained. And so you can put it down for 10 years and then get back to it, and it's still there. And yeah, the chops are gone, but if you practice, you get it all back. And that's what this sort of songwriting group really did for me. It got me playing again and got me actually excited again. And I had no professional investment in it, and that was exciting too. It was just about hanging out and having fun.
You know, you recently played at pianos and you played a bunch of original songs that you'd written. Did those come out of that community?
They did. I think that was sort of the last piece of my graduation. Someone in the group sort of described it, because I'd sort of been resistant. This was many years in, you know, some 3 years in, and this person was comparing the process of then making a record of these songs, recording them, and no matter what I was to do with them, just recording them and making a record, comparing it to, like, you make a sauce, you're stirring the sauce, but you never taste the sauce. He was like, you know, you've got to make this record now. I thought this person was right. And that was really fun. I got very lucky, just someone who was not part of that group, but a friend of mine was a fantastic drummer and engineer, made time for me in his life and really sort of pushed me. We did it very quickly. We did a song a day every Monday for 10 weeks, and then we had a record.
Here's a song that you've heard before. Since you heard it, remember you heard it, yeah.
There's been a lot of angels around me, you know, helping me get to that point so that this was possible. So I did sort of taste the sauce.
Yeah, I think that's so important. I need one of those kinds of people around me. I'm still making sauce over here and I have no idea what it tastes like. I'll use your inspiration as extra means to, you know, stick my spoon in.
I encourage it. It's important because it does bring some finality, closure, whatever you want to call it, to these songs that are written and cared about and on a personal level. And I don't know, it's like with books, I'm so grateful that they get published and they come out for the main reason that I can move on from them, you know? It's like if they were just going in the drawer, it would, as far as my emotions of ties to them, it's more complicated. When it's done, I can just get on to the next thing in a way, you know?
Cool, man. Why? I didn't want to take too much of your time away from your peeps.
That's good. I gotta go back to homeschooling. All right, my buddy.
Sending good vibes across the country. Hope you enjoy this time with your family.
Thanks, dude. I'll see you soon, buddy.
Yep.
Bye.
I want to extend a big thanks to Julian for joining us, and I'm sure he'll echo my encouragement to all those like me to stop stirring the sauce and actually taste it. And here again is the importance of music community. As Julian attested himself, without that community, perhaps there would be no book, perhaps there would be no record. And perhaps this has happened far too many times in history, where our would-be singers kept stirring the sauce. How much music have we never heard? And conversely, how much music has come into the world because communities like this exist? The music on this episode was used with permission from Julian Tepper and The Natural History. In this downtime, I encourage you to pick up Between the Records and the people that I meet. You can get more info online via Rare Bird Books at rare-bird-books.myshopify.com. All of the other sounds on this podcast were done by me. I'm McKeegan Boyce. Community Matters is a production of Grey Matter, where our mission is to build meaningful engagement through human-based music discovery. For more info, you can follow the link in the podcast description. For more evidence of music community, subscribe to the Grey Matter blog on Medium, check us out at greymatter.fm, or follow us on Instagram or Twitter. And tune back in next week, where we'll once again explore why community matters. Thanks for being here.